KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 7:05, it's mostly clear and 44 degrees. We're looking for it to be partly cloudy today, a high of 71, winds east at 10 miles per hour. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Jeff Morenz of Stiefel Investments. A man from Creston was transported to the hospital following a collision Thursday morning. The Union County Sheriff's Office says a 2018 Ford Escape, driven by 75-year-old Lawrence Charles Shimono of Creston, was traveling east and slowing down to turn right off of Highway 34 onto Old Highway 34 at around 9 a.m. A 2015 Ford pickup, driven by 59-year-old Marvin Ray Baker of Corning, was also eastbound. Baker didn't realize Shimono's SUV was slowing down. He tried to go around the Ford, but due to another vehicle approaching westbound, ended up hitting the rear end of the SUV. The impact forced the Escape into the south ditch, where it rolled over once and came to rest on its wheels. Shimono, who was wearing a seatbelt, complained of pain and possible injury. He was transported by EMS to the hospital in Creston. Baker was cited for failure to stop in an assured and clear distance. Damage from the collision amounted to $13,000 altogether. A Cass County man was injured during an accident that took place around 5 a.m. Wednesday in Pottawatomie County. Pottawatomie County Sheriff's Office's 22-year-old Dakota Lee Sanbothy of Marnie was driving a 1993 Dodge D250 pickup northbound on Highway 83, M47, at around 5 a.m. when the vehicle went off the road just before Teakwood Road in Pott County. The truck hit an embankment, jumped over Teakwood Road, and landed in the northeast ditch. Sanbothy was trapped in the pickup and had to be freed by mechanical means. He complained of pain and possible injury and was initially transported by Walnut Rescue to the Cass County Hospital in Atlantic. Deputies cited Sanbothy for failure to maintain control of his vehicle. Damage to the pickup was estimated at $5,000. A traffic stop Wednesday afternoon in Creston resulted in the arrest of a man on a drug charge. Creston police report 34-year-old Alejandro Jose Alejo of Del Rey, California, was arrested at Highway 34 and West Taylor Street at a little after 3 p.m. Alejo was charged with possession of a controlled substance, marijuana, first offense, and child endangerment. He was brought to the Union County Jail, where he later posted bond and was released. The Iowa Department of Transportation's Creston Construction Office reports workers have completed a bridge replacement project on Iowa Highway 92 east of Greenfield and will be reopening the roadway to traffic beginning around 4 p.m. today. Murphy Heavy Contracting was the prime contractor for that project. Officials with the Empowering Adair County Foundation, or EACF, report grant funds totaling slightly more than $84,457 are available for application, with the deadline set for October 15, 2020. EACF says the grant amount is down 17% from last year's funding amount due to Iowa casinos shutting down as the result of COVID-19. Less gambling receipts impacts the amount distributed to counties in Iowa that don't have gaming operations. EACF will accept grant applications for those not to exceed $10,000. However, for the first time, they also have created a new simple one-page application form for grant requests not exceeding $3,000. The original long application forms for larger grant requests, along with the new one-page application forms, can be found on the Adair County ISU Extension website. There is a link to this on the same story on the news page at kjan.com. And due to the decrease in granting funds, the EACF committee may not be able to grant total amounts requested. Grant applications are scored and reviewed on the following criteria: completeness of the application, benefit to Adair County residents, support of entrepreneurial activity, community and leadership development, and identification and addressing of community needs. Once the applications are scored, the committee's funding recommendations are sent to the Community Foundation of Greater Des Moines, EACF's affiliate, for final approval of grant disbursements. There is one grant cycle with an October 15th deadline application. If you'd like more information, you can visit the website mentioned or contact Dina Wells, Adair County Extension, at 641-743-8412. The Iowa Department of Public Health coronavirus dashboard as of 6 a.m. today said there were 897 new positive COVID-19 cases reported since 10 a.m. on Thursday, for a total of 77,865. Officials said also one more death was reported, for a total of 1,249 to date. 6,381 lab results have been processed since Thursday. The data show of those, 5,641 came back negative, 729 were positive. A total of 724,000 Iowans have been tested for the virus, with the recoveries amounting to 56,450 since the pandemic began, for a positivity rate of 10.8%. The 14-day statewide positivity rate is 8.5%. Of those who have died, 864 had a pre-existing condition, and 661 of the deaths took place at a long-term care facility. Here in our listing area, one new positive test result was reported each in Adair, Guthrie, Shelby, and Harrison counties, 2 new cases in Union County, 4 more positive cases in Audubon County, 28 new cases in Pottawatomie County. There were 5 more cases in Madison County and 6 more in Mills County. Statewide hospitalizations are up 10 to 281 now. The number of patients with COVID-19 who are in an ICU is up to 91. 55 people were admitted to a hospital with symptoms of the virus, and 39 patients were on ventilators. Also in western and southwest Iowa, hospitals report 12 people are hospitalized with COVID-19. 8 are in an ICU. 1 person was admitted to an area hospital since 10 a.m. Wednesday with symptoms of the virus, and 1 person remains on a ventilator. There's also 1 more long-term care facility outbreak to report at 39, with 929 patients and staff testing positive for COVID-19 and 466 having recovered. In the funeral announcements, Gary Mulford, age 76 of Audubon, died Monday at the Salem Lutheran Home in Elkhorn. Funeral services for Gary Mulford will be today at 2 o'clock at the First United Methodist Church in Audubon, with Kessler Funeral Home of Audubon in charge of arrangements. Albert Bud View, age 91, who's formerly of Harlan, died September 11th in Johnston. A celebration of life for Bud View will be held today at 3 o'clock at the Ankeny Free Church. Following the service, a gathering will be held in the outdoor courtroom. Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has the arrangements. Merlin Glade, age 85, of rural Panora, died Monday at Iowa Methodist in Des Moines. Funeral services for Merlin Glade will be tomorrow at 10 o'clock at Twig Funeral Home in Panora. Sherry Dickerson, age 80, of Boone and formerly of Messina, died September 12th. A celebration of life for Sherry Dickerson will be tomorrow at 11 a.m. at the Nishna Valley Funeral Home in Shenandoah. Delbert Kirchhoff, age 92, of Atlantic, died Tuesday. A private service for the immediate family of Delbert Kirchhoff will be held tomorrow at the Hillside Assembly, the former First Assembly of God, here in Atlantic. Roland Funeral Home of Atlantic has the arrangements. John E. Roten of Linden died Wednesday at his home. A celebration of life gathering for John Roten will be tomorrow from 2 until 5 p.m. at the Linden Lions Building. Twig Funeral Home of Panora has arrangements. Nancy Finnell, age 72, of Linden, died September 10th. A visitation for Nancy Finnell will be tomorrow from 4 until 6 p.m. at the Yale Community Building. Twig Funeral Home in Panora has arrangements. Bonnie Hennon, age 88, of Panora, died Wednesday at the New Homestead in Guthrie Center. Services for Bonnie Hennon will be on Monday at 10:30 at the Twig Funeral Home in Panora. Janet L. Nelson, age 86, of Casey, died Tuesday. Funeral services for Janet Nelson will be Monday at 11 a.m. at St. John's Lutheran Church in Casey. Hockenberry Funeral Home of Atlantic has arrangements. J. K. P. O'Brien, age 62, of Council Bluffs and formerly of Atlantic, died Monday while visiting his brother in Fort Dodge. A service honoring the life of J. K. P. O'Brien will be held at a later date. Cremation rites have been accorded with the Gunderson Funeral Home in Fort Dodge. The news was brought to you by Jeff Moranz of Stiefel Investments. Give him a call at 712-243-5500. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.